All right, this morning, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10, this is a very used passage of Scripture. I've used it a number of times down through the years. But I thought as we were once again thinking about the process of getting the gospel around the world, that we could use these verses and sort of apply them to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, Luke chapter number 10, verse number, we'll begin in verse number 25, and we'll read down through verse number 37. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' He answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live.' And he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" He asked the question, "Who is my neighbor?" Sometimes we think about neighbors just living next door to us and or just in close proximity. But really the neighbors that we have are is the world around us that needs the gospel to be presented unto them. And so the Lord gives him a parable, and this parable is what we'll be using this morning. He gives him a parable, what we call the parable of the Good Samaritan. And that phrase is used in a lot of places, a lot of things, to be a Good Samaritan. There's even organizations called Samaritan, Samaritan's Purse, and different things along that line. That is a usually a group of people that will help and do things for others. Let's read verse number 30, and we'll read down through verse number 37. This is the parable, this story that the Lord gives to this man that asked who the neighbor was. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down to Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay thee.' When thou hast which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." And he that showed mercy, then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." So here we have the story and the parable of the Good Samaritan. There's a lot of different characters that are in this story. We've gone over them before, but to refresh our memory, each one of these characters represents someone else. A parable is an illustrative story. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But a parable has has many things to give to us that we can understand on our terms and on our level. And then we can apply it to the spiritual side of the work of the Lord. Now we have a man that is a traveler. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among the thieves. So we have here a man that is a traveler. He's going from one place to another. I sort of categorize this man to represent mankind. All of mankind is going from this place to another. We're going to heaven or we're going to hell, one of two places. We're traveling this road of life, and the pitfalls and the struggles and the troubles that come our way are a part of life, and the difficulties that arise. But mankind is traveling a continual process of having birth and life and then death. And so this traveler, he was going from one place to another. And the scripture says here that he fell among the thieves. He fell among those that would do him harm. You and I know as well as anyone that the one that wants to do us harm is the wicked one. He is Satan. He is the one that has his idea to conquer God and to conquer his kingdom, to conquer you and I, to conquer the world. And he's thinking in himself that he literally will be God of this world, literally sitting upon a throne. Larry mentioned a little bit this morning in Sunday school about Lucifer, how that he was made in perfection and made beautiful, and Isaiah tells us that he was perfect in his way until pride was found in his heart. And then he said, I'm going to set my kingdom or my throne above all others. And so he tried to overthrow the Lord and tried to overthrow the kingdom of God even at that time. And we know that he was cast out of heaven, took a third part of the angels with him. And now he is working in this world on all the travelers of this world to try to defeat them and bring them down to destruction and to hell. And so this man fell among the thieves. Mankind has fallen among the thief of the wicked one. We are in his clutches. We're in his hands. We're under his control until Jesus Christ breaks that and makes us a new creature. The Bible tells us that there came along a priest, and that priest represents religion. You know as well as I know that religion can do none of us any good. This world is a religious world. This world is full of religion. And it's not religion that helps us, but it's salvation. But religion comes along and he doesn't do anything that would help this man that's fallen among the thieves. Religion has never saved one individual. Religion has never taken one man, woman, boy, or girl out of the depths of despair and put them on the road to heaven. Religion cannot do that. It's an impossibility for that to take place. And so we have the priest. He looks good. He probably has some good words, but he just can't perform just like religion cannot. Then you have the Levite. Of course, the Levite represents the law of Moses. He's the one that represents the law that was given. And it's a good law. It's a wonderful law because it's found in the Word of God. But the law was never given to bring us to Christ, to bring us salvation. It was given that would point us to the one that could save us, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the law has never saved anybody. Don't ever let anybody tell you when you're talking about Old Testament, don't let folks tell you that, well, the Old Testament folks, they were saved by keeping the law. Yeah. No, they were not saved by keeping the law. They were saved by looking unto the one that would fulfill the law and finish the law. They were saved by faith, just like you and I. They were saved by looking and believing. The Bible says about Abraham, it was accounted unto him for righteousness, his faith. And so, the law cannot do it. The law can only point us to the one that can save us. So here's the traveler. He's going down the pathway of life. Religion comes along and can't do. And law comes along, can't do. But then there's a Samaritan that comes by. And that Samaritan, of course, he represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that came over to him and bound up his wounds. He's the one that took care of the need that he has. And all of us in here this morning, it is Jesus that is taking care of our needs. It is the Lord that has bound up the brokenhearted and taken care of the many needs that we have in our life. And thank God this morning there is a Savior. So here, there's some of the main characters. You have the innkeeper that that is mentioned here. That innkeeper is the servants of the Lord. We take care of the needs that people have. There's the inn that I believe represents the care place or the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll notice a difference in the reading here that these two, the Levite and the priest that came by, the Bible says here that by chance came a priest. He just happened by. He just happened to be there. He just happened to be on that same road. And then the Levite says, likewise, when he was at the place. So by chance, both of those men, that priest and the Levite, they just happened to be by, and they see that man laying on the side of the road, and the Bible says he's half dead. The Bible says he's just about gone. He's not going to live if somebody does not help him. And so they pass by, and there wasn't any reason for them to go over there. They couldn't help him. Religion wasn't going to take care of his wounds, and salvation comes by being bound up by the Lord. And so we find that when the priest came by and the Levite came by, they passed by on the other side of the road. And so this morning I want us to think about, on which side of the Jericho Road are you? Where do we find ourselves in this traveling of mankind going from earth to eternity? Some are going to glory, some are going to hell. But where do we find ourselves on this pathway, on this road of life that we're all traveling? And I know this morning that we are, sometimes we struggle with life, sometimes we struggle with a problem, sometimes we struggle with health, sometimes we struggle with everything possible, but we are traveling that way, and one day we're going to face our eternity. One day we're going to face that which is before us. But not only you and I, but there are a multitude of people in this world this morning that's on the same road we're on. They're born, they live, they die. Some of them never hear the name Jesus Christ. Some of them never hear a message. Some of them never read a Bible. Some of them never have a copy of the Word of God even to hold or to look upon. Some of them only have portions of it, but they're still traveling the same way we're traveling. They're still going the same place and the same destiny that all of us have, and that is leaving this world. And so this traveler here that we read about here in Luke chapter 10, this traveler is all of mankind, and we're all going. And the Bible says in Genesis, I believe chapter number 6, go the way of all men. The Bible says in Genesis 6, every word, every person that's mentioned there, the last thing that's said about him says, and he died. You know the last thing he said about you is that, well, he died. He's no longer here, or she's no longer here. And so we find that we're traveling down that road, and the thieves are everywhere. The ungodliness is around us and would strip us of our life and our livelihood. And so when we think about filling out the cards this morning, we are literally saying that we're going to try to help somebody get away from religion. You know, there's a lot of religion in this world. There are countries that are 99%, 80%, 94% a certain religion, but that religion has not helped them at all and has never helped their country or their ancestors. And so we are in the process of going down this pathway of life, and we've got the truth. We've got the way of life. We've got salvation. And so the Samaritan, he journeyed on this road. He was there on purpose. The Scripture never puts anything in the Word just for to fill up space. It lets us know that the priest and the Levite, they just happened to be. They just were going their way. They were doing their thing. They were doing what they were supposed to do. They were in their mold, and they were in their habit and their habitat, and they were just following the rules and the regulations of their life, and they just happened by this man that was left for dead. But Jesus, the Scripture says here that this Samaritan who represents the Lord, he went there on purpose. Thank God he came to you on purpose, came to me on purpose. The scripture says that the Samaritan journeyed. He was on that journey. He was on that road, and he was there on purpose. The Bible says in verse 31 that the priest passed by on the other side. Verse number 32 says the Levite passed by on the other side. So this morning, where are we? This morning, what side of this road of life that's typified here by the Jericho Road, which side of the road are we on? Where will we find ourselves when we come by these folks that are left for dead? These folks that are left for their life to be spent and die and go off into eternity without God. Now there's one side that is a side of struggle and a side of work, but there's another side. These two passed on the other side. And this other side is always a path of the multitude. Don't ever think you're going to be in the multitude, in the crowd of the majority. Don't ever think we're going to have more on our side than they have on their side, because the scripture says that the multitude is going their way without God and without hope. And so the other side of the Jericho Road that the priest and the Levite were on, that other side is always the side where most people will find themselves. That's the place where there's no restraints. That's the place where anything goes, and that's the side that is just well. The scripture says in Psalm chapter 2, "Let us break their bands asunder." Don't want any restraints. Don't want anything to hold them back. And this morning, that other side is the side of the multitude. If you turn on your TV this morning, if you turn on your the news this morning, you'll find that most of the world is so far away from God, they don't even recognize anything about the Lord. They are foreign to the things of spiritual life and spirituality. So that's the multitude. The multitude tells us that they're going their way, and it's the way they're going to stay. We know it's the side of the multitude because Jesus said, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction." That is the road, and that is the pathway that leads to hell. And he says, "Many there be on that." Multitudes this morning, and the Bible says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision." And I'll guarantee you this morning, there's more people lost in this world than there are saved. That other side of the Jericho Road is the side of the group of people that are going their way, going as this traveler, and they've fallen among the thieves, and they've been beaten, they've been left for dead, and they're going to die because most people are on the other side of the road. Most people are on the side of the multitude. The multitude is going to hell, that broad way that leads to destruction. The multitude wants to put God out of their thoughts and out of their knowledge. Turn over, if you would, to Romans chapter number 1. We have that very familiar chapter, Romans chapter 1, that gives us a description of the world in which we are living, the world that is dying, and the attitude of that world. In Romans chapter number 1, and let's just look in verse number 21. Well, back up to verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, over the truth and unrighteousness. Notice verse number 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. There was a time when that generation knew God, but they turned their back on the Lord. They wouldn't glorify Him as God. And they were not thankful, the scripture says, neither were thankful. They became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's the multitude. That's that generation. That's that group of people on that road traveling from earth to eternity, and they think they're wise, they think they're doing well, they think they have all the answers, but one day they're going to come to the conclusion of their life and they'll find out they knew nothing. They thought they were wise, but the Scripture says, thou fool. The Scripture says there's nothing there for you, nothing there that will help you. Notice here what they do. In verse 23, they change the glory of God, of an incorruptible God, to an image. So there's the idolatry. They make God to become man. We call that humanism. We find that most people today think they're their own God, and they can do what they want to do. They can live the way they want to live. Don't tell me what's right, what's wrong. Just leave me alone. And so here's where the Lord tells us that the world is. In verse number 24, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness. Verse number 25 tells us something else that they did. They changed the truth of God into a lie. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And so they take the truth and they turn it and it becomes a lie. And they worship and serve the creature. You know what that is? That's me. That's us. They serve the creature more than they serve the Creator. That's the other side of the multitude. That's the side that's always the path of the multitude. In verse number 26, says they, for this cause, because what they've done, God gave them over to vile affections, ungodliness. Verse number 28. And even as they, who is that? That they that's traveling this pathway of life. They that have changed truth into lies. They that have changed the things of the Lord and made fun. And they've mocked the glory of God. And they've dishonored Him. So verse 28, that word they includes mankind. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Verse number 30 talks about backbiters and haters of God. And verse number 32 says there will be a judgment of God. And so here, the other side of the Jericho Road is the side of the multitude. And what we've just read about them is not real great. I don't think we need to be on that side. I don't think we need to be with the crowd. We need to go against the flow. We need to be those that would stand for the things of righteousness. So the other side is always the path of the multitude. The other side is always the easiest side. It's easier to go downriver than it is upriver. It's easier to go with the jet stream when you're flying than it is to come back against the jet stream. And so it's always the easiest side. The priest and the Levite, they didn't have to worry with the problem. They just looked at it and shook their head and went on. That was easy for them to do. Why? Because they didn't have any care. They didn't have any desire to help this man that was dying. And so they look at him and they maybe examine him. I doubt they do very much of that. And when they look at him, they realize, I can't help him. Religion says, I can't help him. He's dying. I can't give him comfort. I can't give him any kind of understanding. I can't give him eternity. And so I'm just going to go on and not worry about it. That's the easy thing to do. The Levite comes along. He looks at him and says, well, my law won't help him. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. He's gone beyond that. He's dying. He's without hope. And so I'll just leave him alone. I just happen to be here anyway, and I'm just going to go on, and I'll forget all about that man that's dying. You know, a lot of times we forget about the world that's dying. A lot of times we lose the sensitivity of the importance of telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We lose the desire. We lose the energy to tell folks about Christ. And so the priest and the Levite, they didn't have to worry with the problem. The flesh always knows the way around the problem. This flesh that we have, it knows how to take care of easy things, and it's always the side of compromise and not doing what we know is right and just letting things go. It'll be okay. I'll let it go. The other side's always the easiest side. Jesus never did tell us that his work would be an easy work. But he said it'd be a rewarding work. He didn't tell us it'd be without harm or without hurt, without accusation, without things being said or done. He never told us that it would be something that would be always easy. He might have to struggle a little bit. And so the multitude of the crowd, they said, "Oh, we don't want that. We're just going to get over on the easy side and we'll not worry about it." So the other side of the Jericho Road is the side of the multitude. It's the side that is easiest. And it's always the side that's most pleasant. Now, it's never a pleasant thing to bind up a wound physically. If someone is hurt and someone is bleeding and someone has a need of medical help, that's never a real desirous job for the common everyday person. Most of us wouldn't know what to do with some of those things that took place and some of the things that would happen. Most of us would not know what all needed to be done. And before long, we would be, our garments would be spotted, and we would be spotted with the tragedies that we were dealing with. And so it's never easy to bind up a physical wounded person. Well, it's not easy to bind up a spiritually wounded person either. It takes a lot of work, takes a lot of struggle, takes a lot of time, takes a lot of money, takes a lot of energy. Takes a lot of self. Takes a lot of denying. Takes a lot of just whatever energy you have just to do what needs to be done for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's times of sorrows that we deal with. There's distress. There are people that are without hope. They've been destroyed. They've been broken. They have been torn apart. They've been torn apart. And it's not easy binding them up. This priest and Levite, they didn't get dirty. They didn't get spoiled. They didn't get stained because they didn't fool with it. They took a look and then they went the other way. The other side of the Jericho Road is more pleasant. When I was early in the ministry, there was this fellow going across the country. He said, "It's fun to be a Christian." And he took the country by storm. But not everything being a Christian is fun. Everything's joyous, but not everything is fun. And so these that passed on the other side, they just went the easy way, the pleasant way. And, oh, there's so many over here, I'll get lost in the crowd. That's where the multitude is. And so I'll go over here and it won't matter what I do. It won't matter if I do or not do. And so they get on the other side of that Jericho Road and it's more pleasant for them. They don't have to wash their hands. They don't have to get out of the grime of this world. They don't have to get in the out of the things of ungodliness. And they just go their way. Lastly this morning, the other side of the Jericho Road is the least expensive. Doesn't cost you much to look, does it? How many times I've heard ladies say, "We're going window shopping." Doesn't cost anything. You can look, but you don't buy. You're not involved in the activity of purchasing. Well, this other side of the Jericho Road, it's the least expensive. It doesn't cost anything to look at that man that's dying. It doesn't cost anything to look at him that's left there by the thieves of this world, the demons of this world. It doesn't take a whole lot of energy. It doesn't take any money just to look at him, because we're not going to touch him. We're not going to clean him up, and we're not going to spend anything on him. He can just die. He can just die. I'm afraid too many Christians have that attitude toward the world. maybe not meaningly, maybe not on purpose. Attitude-wise, though, is I just can't do. Doesn't cost much to walk around a need. Doesn't cost much to go on the other side. It does cost to help, though. It does cost to help people that are in need of salvation. I'll give you some things it cost. First thing, always on our mind when we talk about cost, is money. It cost money. It cost money to turn these lights on this morning. It cost money for you to start your car this morning. It cost money for you to be clothed this morning. Everything we do costs money. Somebody made the statement, nothing's free. That's exactly right. It costs somebody. And so involved in the Jericho Road, it'll cost you money if you get on the right side. Not only that, but it'll cost you time. It'll cost a portion of that 24-hour day that God has given to each one of us. It'll cost a portion of that 7-day week that we have, or that 30-31-day month. It'll take some time to do what we should do for people that are dying. It'll take some talent. I say, oh, I don't have any talent. Everybody has talent. They may have different talent, may have different things that we can do, but everybody can do. What's the saying? I can't do everything, but I can do something. I can do something, and so if everybody will do their something, the job will get done. So it takes money, it takes time, it takes talent. Sometimes it'll take away friends. People that you thought were friends won't be friends because you just don't have time for them. Sometimes it takes away family because they don't understand. They just don't understand spending all that time, spending all that money. It'll take away popularity. It's not popular right now to be a Christian. If you don't get on the right side of the Jericho Road, not the other side, it'll cost some popularity. It'll cost some money. It'll cost some time. It'll cost some talent, friends. But on the other side of that, if it takes money, then my Bible tells me He has promised me eternal riches. Thank the Lord for what we have in heaven. If it takes my time, He's already given me eternity. He's already given me the life without end. If it takes my talent, what a blessing it is to serve Him and to serve others. If it takes my family and friends, thank God I have a bigger family. It's called the family of God. And the Lord has put us there by faith and grace. If it takes my popularity, then I still have the honor of the Lord for doing what He has told me to do. So on which side of the Jericho Road do we find ourselves? Do we find ourselves with the multitude? Do we find ourselves on the easiest side? Do we find ourselves with the most pleasant? Do we find ourselves with the least expensive? Or do we find ourselves like the Samaritan? Let's reread what the Scripture says here about the Samaritan. Verse 33. And a certain Samaritan. There's a certain one. Thank God we know who he is. And a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. Priest and Levite, they did everything this Samaritan did, only without compassion. They saw him, they looked upon him, they came to where he was, and they shook their head and walked off. But the Samaritan had compassion on him. Sort of like the Bible says, he looked upon the city of Jerusalem, he looked upon that area, and he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. And the Scripture says he had compassion on them. Thank God this morning he had compassion on me and you. He gave us eternity. He gave us life. He saved us by his grace. And so he come to where he was. He had compassion on him. And then it says he went to him. and bound up his wounds. He not only was there, not only did he see him, not only did we look upon him, but he went right to where he was, and he bent down, and he had compassion, and his compassion was transferred over into action. Into action. That's really what faith promises. I was looking at this last night, and I thought, well, I really wasn't going to put too much emphasis on the mission part because we've had so much. But that's really what missions is. We look at them, we say, we know the world is dying. We have no problem realizing that most of the people in this world are dying without hope. They're dying without Christ. And we can look at them. Well, it's time that we go over and bind up some wounds. We have missionaries all around this world that's doing the job of binding up wounds. We have men, we have families, we have people all around this world that's doing the work of the Samaritan, telling them of one that can heal them and help them spiritually in their life. Now remember, this is an earthly story, a parable, heavenly understanding. What Jesus did for that man physically, thank God he did for you and I spiritually. We were left, the Bible says in Ephesians, we're dead in sins and trespasses. We are without hope, we're without God, we're without desire, we don't want God, and we're laying there dead. And the Lord comes over right where we are. And he has compassion on us. He binds up our wounds. He says, if you believe upon me, things will be better, and they'll be right, they'll be well. And so this Samaritan, he bound up his wound, pouring in oil. I didn't mention a while ago, oil is always a representative of the Holy Spirit. And he pours in the oil and the wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. And first of all, he took care of him there at the inn. He personally had personal care in this man that was left by Satan to die. He took over where religion could not do. He took over where the law could not perform. Jesus, thank God, he's the one that can pour in the oil. He's the one that can take the Holy Spirit and put it in us and being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The moment we're saved, we get the Spirit of God indwelling us, and then we have different times that He uses us, that we're always present with the Holy Spirit. And so the Scripture says here that He came, compassion, put Him on His own beast, brought Him to an inn, He took care of Him. But then it says on the next day, on the morrow, when He departed. Now Jesus, He departed this world. Oh, but thank God He's coming back. And when He departed, He told the innkeeper, He said, here's some money. You take care of him till I return. So much illustrative things here. This innkeeper, that's you and I. And He gives us ability to take care of this world with the gospel. He says, when I come again, I'll repay you. Whatever you spend for the Lord, He'll repay you. And you notice this Samaritan, he didn't say, if I come back. He says, when I come again, I will repay thee. Praise the Lord, Jesus is coming. And when He comes, He has His payment. He has that which is for you and I. And so here we find the Jericho Road is the pathway of life. We're all traveling it. There's a whole lot of people needs the Lord. But the multitude go on the other side and go away. But Jesus comes to where we are. The old song says, He came to me. Thank God He came to me. In the midst of despair and distress of our lives, He came to me. You know, He still comes to me. None of us are. None of us are perfect. We have those sins that beset us. I'm glad He can come to us. I'm glad He can help us. And He can not only give us all the oil, but every once in a while He just pours some on us to help us, to give us strength, because we belong to Him. And Jesus answering and said, a certain man went down. We are those people that have gone down. But thank God He is that one that has raised us up. We went down, not to just Jerusalem or to Jericho. We're going down to eternity. And religion can do nothing. The law can do nothing. But thank God Jesus passed by. Thank the Lord one day He came to where I was and made me a new creature. Now, which side of the Jericho Road do you want to be on? It's a whole lot easier over here. It's a whole lot less expensive. There's a whole lot more people, a whole lot more activities. But this one over here, where the people really are, is the one that says, Jesus said, I will repay you. That inn, I believe, represents the church. That's where lost people, after they're saved, where they come and they have understanding. That's where they have doctrine given to them. And so the inn represents the house of God. The innkeeper is you and I that promote and help and serve. And Jesus said, whatever you spend, I'll repay you. Eternal honor, eternal riches in glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. This morning, as you take those little slips of paper, says my faith promise offering, just mark what you think the Lord would have you to do this year, weekly, or if you do it monthly, put it out there monthly, and that'll get you off of one side of the Jericho Road and put you on the other. Put you on the side where the world needs Christ. So, I can't give much. You do what the Lord says, and you're doing as much as anybody else. There was one time a group of people together, and the Pharisees watched them all as they dropped their money in. They all dropped it in. They were so proud. But there's a woman that came by, just had a widow's mite. And she humbly put that in. And Jesus said, I tell you, she gave more than anybody else. She did more. And she did it without recognition and knowledge. She just gave. So it doesn't matter if it's a widow's mite, if it's a bigger amount. Whatever the Lord gives us to do, that's what He will provide for us to take care of that. So this morning, let's stand together. Brother Earl, if you would go back to the back, you and Don, as you always do. I don't think we'll even have a song. We'll just have prayer. And as you depart this morning, just take those faith promise cards and put them in the offering plate as you go by. And then we'll have those together and determine what we can do for the Lord as far as this world is concerned.